Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan, I'll be your host, as we've got 10 minutes of quick hitting NFL Week 8 insights action. We're talking Thursday night football, we're touching touchdown anytime bets, or anytime touchdown bets, which we talked about last year. And we're going to get into some betting trends that are bubbling up here in 2025, whether they're worth a closer look. And then we're going to wrap it all up, 2 minute drill, best bets for week eight. Joining me each week is former odds maker, pro gambler, one of the smartest guys, sharing his wagering wisdom with us every episode here during football season, Mr. Todd Furman. Todd, you had a really good week seven.
You nailed
your two unders Sunday morning, Monday night. But more importantly, you won our head-to-head battle on Thursday Night Football, took the Bengals plus 5.5. Congrats. Great job there. And I'll say, if not for Jaden Daniels getting hurt midway through that Dallas game, I think we would have went a perfect 4-for-4 on our 2 minute drill bets. But that tends to happen. You don't hear me screaming refund. You don't hear me. Soft. You're all soft.
I mean, look, we had the opportunities that were there. Trust me, my goal in all this isn't to try and take your money in the head-to-heads. It's to try and go head-to-head with the sports books. But we did get vintage Joe Flacco. We were reminded why Mike Tomlin is who we think he is when it comes to laying more than 4 points. And to your point, you know, if Jaden Daniels doesn't go down, we definitely have a great opportunity to go 4-for-4. But alas, I have to make an open and honest assessment of my own capabilities or lack thereof. Didn't check the weather forecast in advance. Would never have tried to back a Herald fan at any time touchdown in that misty mess that we saw in Cleveland. And J-Lo, I didn't give it out here as a best bet, but I am officially swearing off betting sides as it pertains to the Tennessee Titans, although I will visit that football game a little bit later in the program.
I feel like we say that every year when it comes to the Tennessee Titans. And honestly, the AFC South for me has been a cursed division for many years. I seem to be upside down no matter which way I go, whether it's fading or betting on an AFC South team. Somewhere I get my wires crossed. But we're going to strive for perfection here in Week 8. But before we do that, we're going to ask that if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, this is episode, 501 now. We're on the other side of 500. Or if you're new and you like what we're doing here.
Levi's 501. Why don't we have a new sponsor for episode 501?
That's right. I should be up here, showing my curves and my jeans. But that's the other J-Lo.
I didn't say that, J-Lo.
That's the other. She gets a lot more money for that stuff. But please, rate and review the Sharp 600. And if you're watching us on YouTube, which seems like a lot more people are doing that each week, it's even easier. Hit the like button, that big thumbs up thing. Yeah, hit that thing. And then give us your bets, your thoughts, even your criticisms. Throw those in the comments and consider subscribing to the Covers YouTube channel. We're hitting the Sports Equinox now, so there's a lot of great content on that Covers YouTube channel, so check it out. All right, Todd, so with all that said, let's go 600 seconds on the clock for NFL Week 8. Todd, people love them a good trend, right? They love to eat those up. But unfortunately, a lot of those betting patterns that pop up throughout the course of the season, they're purely coincidental, no real connection. However, sometimes you can find what I like to say, a trend with teeth, backed by a narrative or, a repeating circumstance or something like that. It's time for a little trends, true or false. I'm going to spit out some trends that are happening here through the first 7 weeks. You're going to tell me whether they're true or false, whether they hold water in week eight and going forward. So one big one that's popping up, true or false, underdogs. 8-3 ATS in the last 11 primetime games. That's a 73% winning streak.
Look, I'm going to say true for the long haul, but I don't love any of the primetime dogs this week. Jayla, we talk about it all the time. I mean, primetime brings out the best in a lot of these teams. And when the schedule is made well in advance, we do get a lot of those lame duck teams playing later in the season. They're going to mail in their Sunday 1 o'clock Eastern and 4 o'clock Eastern kickoffs. You know they're going to bring their A game. No greater illustration than what we saw last Thursday from the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'm going to say true as the season progresses, but I'm not going to rubber stamp all three primetime dogs this weekend.
Yeah, and I'd say too, those Thursday games, those Thursday primetime games, weird results tend to breed in those midweek games. We don't see the most consistency there. True or false, the NFC is 25-12 ATS versus the AFC this season. That's a 67.5% ATS win rate for the AFC. True or false?
True. I think this is where the balance of power is. You look at the NFC at the top, you can make a case for the Eagles, the Rams, maybe the 49ers if they get healthy, the Lions, the Packers, the list goes on and on. And the AFC, for me, has one team that is starting to emerge as the clear-cut favorite in the Kansas City Chiefs, and I have questions that have to be answered for the Buffalo Bills, you know, the New England Patriots and a variety of other teams. So I think true, the NFC is where the cream is this year, and it's showing up in those interconference showdowns.
Yeah, there's a lot of AFC teams that are deep underwater in terms of plus minus, and I think the Saints might be the only team that is that far underwater for the NFC. An interesting one that I dug through in my underdogs column here. Underdogs between plus 6.5 and plus 9.5 are 13-7 ATS this year. It seems to be the underdog sweet spot. True or false?
And we mention all the time, this is a league of parity, and we were talking about being expected to win and do so by margin of more than a touchdown. It's a little bit of buyer beware, although this is kind of where we get to the inflection point where we see the separation of the haves and have not. So I'm not going to rubber stamp. I'm going to say false here, that I do think we see some of those elite offensive teams start to win games and do so by margin. So false, just because it's such a narrow range.
All right. It's weird because I looked at the numbers, the shorter favorites, not great against the spread, and the double-digit faves, not necessarily great against the spread, but that middle range looking pretty good right now. Next one, favorites coming off a loss are 24-12 ATS, 67% this year. Is this a true or false trend?
For me, I think there's a lot of truth to this. It's essentially saying that you're getting a good team against an inferior opponent with a true amount of focus here coming off of a loss. So there's a lot of bounce back. And Jayla, we talk about it all the time, not just on this episode or in years past, but going all the way back that we've been in the industry. It is a recency bias in the National Football League. Most of the time, people don't like to lay points with a team they saw lay an egg the week prior. So this one, I think, has some real merit to it. Do I think it's going to hold at 67%? That may be a leap of faith, but I do think it's generally a good rule to look for good teams coming off a poor performance, looking to make a statement the next time out.
All right. And we've got one here for over-unders. Totals of 42.5, the shorter end of that scale, and below that key number of 43. Totals of 42.5 points or shorter are 18-9 over-under. It's a 67% win rate for overs.
So this is real interesting because years ago, when I was brought into the industry, it was always you look for the lowest totals and you go under because odds makers can't set them low enough. And you look for the highest totals to try and go over because typically books aren't going to set them high enough. I feel like we're in a very different time period in the NFL. When you're going under totals this low, you almost need more things to go right for you than to go wrong. And we saw that on Monday Night Football between the Houston Texans and the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, that game goes over the closing total, not because we saw prolific offense, but we saw turnovers, we saw short fields, you saw things that are hard to quantify in your handicap. So oftentimes, if I'm looking at a low total, I'm much more inclined to go under in the first half before these things can get squirrely and hope games play truer to their script in the first 30 minutes than they will over a 60-minute sample size. Just ask Browns and Dolphins fans how they felt about going under that total, knowing that there wasn't much in the way of offense, but you can't overcome short fields and touchdown drives that travel all 5 yards.
All right. Thank you, Todd, for those insights. It's Thursday Night Football and an interesting game, a non-conference game, which may have us thinking about that non-conference trend when it comes to the NFC. But we've got the Vikings traveling to LA to take on the Chargers. Todd, what do you like in this game?
This is such a fascinating game because it's two teams, quite frankly, that I don't know a whole heck of a lot about, which is rare to say this deep into October. But the Chargers look nothing like the bunch that we saw early on in the campaign when they won three straight division games, people talking about them as a legitimate threat to not only win their division, but to win the conference. But as you know, J-Lo, cluster injuries along the O-line can doom us all. But when you're trying to handicap the Chargers now, one thing that I am confident in is that they go up against a team that's very blitz happy in the Minnesota Vikings, just shy of 40%. Keenan Allen has been that blitz buster because his veteran savvy, he knows where to sit in the soft spots, and that's who Justin Herbert has looked to. He's not going to have a long time in the pocket to look for a lot of those deep shots, but I do think Keenan Allen can be that guy. Look, at Bet365, is over under for reception, sits at 5.5. I can get plus $1.15 to go over. I think Keenan Allen becomes a high volume receiver in wake of his strong performance last week in catch-up mode against the Colts.
All right, I'm thinking along the same lines here, but we've seen Ladd McConkey be very active and especially active in the slot. He drew 15 targets last week, 9 catches, 67 yards. That was his busiest day of the season. And like you said, a very aggressive, blitz-happy Vikings pass rush. McConkey can be that pressure release as well for Justin Herbert, who's fantastic against the blitz when you look at his metrics. The Vikings, they don't give up a whole lot of deep. You said that, but they do get picked apart by slot receivers. And McConkey lined up 48 times in the slot last week. He had big days against blitz-happy teams like Miami and Kansas City already this year. A lot of the week 8 projections are north of 60 yards right now. So I like Ladd McConkey over 55.5 receiving yards, minus 110 at Bet365. Anytime touchdown bets. Odds, of course, provided by Bet365. Todd, who do you like to find pay dirt?
I'm going to look to try and put together a rally here with singles instead of trying to come up there with nobody on base and try and swing for the fences. So I'm going to go to A.J. Brown plus $1.75 against the New York Giants. A bit of revenge on the mind of the Philadelphia Eagles. But J-Lo, this is more about the injuries that the Giants could potentially be dealing with in that defensive backfield. Javon Holland and Paulson Adebo did not finish last week against the Broncos. And we saw Bo Nix did over the final 7 minutes. Brian Burns was seen leaving the stadium in a walking boot, a concern for the pass rush. And the deep game finally got on track for Philadelphia. A.J. Brown parlays that two-touchdown performance against the Vikings into finding pay dirt for the second straight week.
All right, I'm going to a tight end, surprisingly. I've been going a lot of tight ends here for touchdown bets, but going with Dalton Kincaid, plus 240. Kincaid sat out week six with an oblique injury. He practiced in limited fashion at the end of the week, then had 2 weeks off to get right before playing Carolina. And despite missing week six, he's still third on the team in receptions, second in red zone targets. He's had 3 TDs in 5 games. The Bills play the Panthers, which are one of the worst teams against tight ends this year, giving up 4 touchdowns and the 4th most yards to the positions. We forgot about Dalton Kincaid, plus 240. I love this price tag on him to find pay dirt. It's 2 minutes real time, and that means our best bets for NFL Week 8. Todd, I'll do the honors. Get us started. New Orleans Saints team total under 20.5. It's minus 125. I bet the under 47.5 on the full game total earlier in the week. This one has since dropped to 46.5, with the Bucs expected to do the heavy lifting. But this New Orleans offense is among the least, if not the least, explosive in the land. And this aggressive Bucs pass rush, picking up steam as well, too. Not going to give Spencer Rattler or whoever is under center for them by the time this one is over. They're not going to give them any time for those downfield plays to develop, especially with their starting center out for the season, leaving a really bad O-line looking really, really bad. And that leaves NOLA attack leaning on the run and short passes. I got them under 20.5 points here in week 8.
I mean, Jason, I'm not sure how I feel about this week. I got a lot of overs and favorites that have drawn my attention. And I'll start with a favorite here in the Philadelphia Eagles. Game was 7 early in the day, probably 7.5 by the time people are watching. That's not going to scare me off as they play host to the New York Giants. A little bit of revenge for a game where they were embarrassed on Thursday Night Football a few weeks ago. And Philadelphia closed a 7.5-point favorite on the road in that spot. The Giants come into this game off that heartbreaking loss to the Denver Broncos. The players had to stop talking about it in media availability on Tuesday. I think that hangover lingers. And I mentioned some of the injury concerns for this Giants defense. I think they are on full display as the Eagles offense starts to get on track. Look for Philadelphia to win and win big in division. I'll lay the number. Prefer the 7, but have no qualms about laying 7.5.
All right, it seems like we're going all in on the Eagles because I got Jalen Hurts over 29.5 rushing yards. It's minus 110. Hurts has seen his rushing yard output kind of dip, including just 13 rushing yards against the Giants 3 weeks ago. But let's not forget, Philly fell behind 13-3, had to go pass heavy. And they asked Nick Sirianni about Hurts' involvement and lack of involvement in the run game. And he said, this is still a big part of what we do. It's just been circumstance. New York getting that pass rush after the quarterback, but they have given up the 4th most rushing yards to QB so far. Gave up 48 yards on the ground to Bo Nix in that collapse against Denver. Projections for Hurts sit in the mid-30s with a ceiling higher at 44. For those interested, Hurts 30-plus plus a touchdown is plus 190.
And, you know, for my final 2-minute drill play, I'm going to go over the first half total between the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. Indy has scoring at an alarming rate, nearly 19 points per game in the first half. Tennessee, meanwhile, more than happy to oblige, especially doing business without Jeffrey Simmons and potentially Jarius Sneed. I think the Titans playing a little bit faster will help. Just get me one touchdown before the break, Cam Ward. First half over, Titans and Colts.
Ooh, yeah. And again, that's the AFC South. We're going to dabble in the AFC South here and duel with fate. So we'll see.
It's a total, though. It's not a side. It's a total.
All right,
we at least
right.
got the Jags total home in London, despite Liam Cohen onside kicking it, trailing by 3 touchdowns in the middle of the fourth quarter.
And I will say, you have been great with your totals and great with your derivative totals as well, too, this year. So
let's hope it continues.
Keep it going. But it's the AFC South, so they're going to screw you over. all right. It's another 600 seconds to get you ready for the latest slate of NFL games. Big thanks to Chris on the wheels of steel behind us. A good job pimping out the podcast, especially on the YouTube side. Chris, things are looking awesome. Thank you, Todd, for your insights. Special thanks to the guys at Bet365. And of course, we thank you for spending another 10 minutes with us and another week. So thank you very much. A reminder, rate and review the Sharp 600 on whatever it is platform that you join us on each week. And if you're part of that YouTube audience, like and subscribe. Don't miss anything at Covers during what is the best time for sports betting right now. Todd, we talked about this a little bit earlier, a lot being made of parity in 2025. This is the 4th lowest average margin of victory in NFL history so far this season. Can it continue, or will the cream of the crop, that's my best Macho Man, rise to the top in the coming weeks?
I feel like we're going to start to see a separation of the good teams getting better, figuring out their identities on both sides of the ball. And this is the time of year where you have to look at strength of schedule. Don't fall in love with those win-loss records, because every schedule isn't created equally. That's oftentimes where we can find an opportunity, not just from a sides perspective, but also a totals and player props as well. And look, J-Lo, I'm just glad you could pull yourself away from your beloved NBA after opening night to talk a little NFL with all of us peons here as we head towards the midseason play.
I honestly don't get too involved or too caught up in NBA until like Christmas Day, after Christmas Day. The football generally takes my attention away from things.
But
they don't really start going until after Christmas. So, that's when I get back into basketball. We will be back next Wednesday for week 9, that halfway park. Until then, best of luck with your bets.